Hello, and welcome to our inner healer gathering. For a date stamp, today is, God, I almost said November. Like, is that crazy? Today is April 23rd, and it is the 7 p.m. Wednesday class, and it's the last class of April. Can't believe April is almost completed. Like, we're coming to the end, wrapping that up. Amazing how fast these energies are going. And so let's stick with the energies because there's a lot of stuff going on energetically, okay? And these energies right now require us all to pay attention and to be absolutely present, okay? Pay attention with our choices, pay attention with our consciousness, with our state of being, with our heart, as opposed to our ego, right? And allow ourselves to come from the highest place within ourselves, because these are significant life-changing energies that we are playing in. And the reason for that is because we have a shift right now, planetary shift, that is taking place with some key players that are on the outer planetary circumference of the planets at play. And because of the positioning of these planets, we're talking about Pluto, which we already know is in Aquarius, and the fact that Mars is now moving forward and has left the sign of Cancer heading into the sign of Leo. We also have Uranus as a key player, right? And all of these planets are outer planets, which are impacting the collective and not us personally. Inner planets like Venus, the planet of love, impacts us directly. The moon impacts us directly. The Mercury impacts us directly, right? Those planets impact us on an individual level as well as a collective level. But these outer planets, the Pluto, Uranus, Saturn, they govern the collective experience. We've talked about this in the other classes, so I don't want to go back over it again. They govern the planet's collective experience. So this is not on an individual level. It's not focused for an individual level. It's focused for a planetary level, a planetary collective level, right? And while Saturn and Pluto and Uranus can all impact us, Neptune, impact us directly on a personal level, their purpose is always for the collective experience. Okay. So when they're coming in to play like they are now, there's shifting that's taking place that is impacting the North Node directly. And if you remember from classes in the past when we talked about the North Node, the South Node is what's in our past. The South Node is full of karma. It's what we came in to work on. It's what we came in to rebalance ourselves through. It's the lessons or experiences that we're having in our day-to-day. And the North Node is where we're headed. The North Node is purpose-driven, right? So we could say the North Node holds our purpose. The North Node is the pathway we're meant to go to, right? It's the direction that we're headed in, on a personal level for what we're here to do personally. And that's being impacted in a very dramatic way in this moment, okay? The North Node action is getting a lot of heat right now with Mars going direct, because Mars is a fire planet. And so when Mars goes direct and it impacts the North Node, The North Node sets a fire under all of us because it's letting us know that now is the time where you've been sitting, waiting, being patient, trying to tune in, trying to stay present, trying to understand what direction you're supposed to go in, what's next for me on my list of what I'm here to do, right? While we've all been in this holding pattern, now we're being catapulted forward because the North Node is being directly impacted by fiery Mars. So all of the intentions that we've been setting for the past year, all of the goals that maybe we've been thinking about or plotting out over the last year are finally ready to be put into action. Okay. And so it's really important if you hear that in the background, that's lasagna. Sometimes he chokes on something and he'll have a coughing fit. So it's very important to have an awareness to this because all of a sudden something might be activating for you in your field of consciousness that's being lit up that you feel really compelled to do or really pushed to do. Okay. And so I can use myself as an example. I haven't really felt like putting out any videos in the last year, year and a half. I haven't felt like writing anything. I've only been focused on the community and this group. I just really haven't felt like doing anything in the outer world. And lately, I keep getting the message to start up my main newsletter again that targets everybody, as opposed to just the community members, and start writing. And that's something that's been coming to me. So I may be looking into doing that and starting my newsletter again so that I could keep people in the loop on what's taking place within the collective so that we can all do a better job with anchoring these energies because they definitely need sources to anchor through. Okay. Another thing that's coming up for me is this overwhelming desire to paint, right? And then all of a sudden, the fire activates my money sector. And the next thing I know is every day is filled with clients. I'm not complaining. I'm very grateful for the money coming in. And I don't have the time to paint. There's the irony, right? Like, isn't that funny? So that's another thing. So as I'm and as I'm tuning into all of this, it's very very palpable. Like it's really right there present with me. Okay. That's when you know something is coming in that's asking you to move forward in a way that's on your alignment, that's on your pathway. Okay. And also at the same time, right now, we're being pushed to look at what is authentic for us. In other words, are you doing something because it's always been done that way in your family? Are you doing something because that's how you were taught growing up? That's how you do this. Okay. Are you doing something because you want to fit in with, the group of people that you're doing it with, right? That's another thing that we have to take a look at because right now we're being pushed into our highest, most authentic state of being. Okay. So it may make you feel like letting go of something that is no longer resonating with you. It may make you feel like letting go of someone, a people, a place, a thing, right? Outdated ways of thinking, understanding and remembering yourself as a creator being. Okay. An example of that would be my whole entire life, I've had this thing with the dark, especially being outside at night, late at night when it's very, very dark. And it's always been this fear, like there's someone out there watching me, there's someone that's going to snatch me up, right? And that comes from my galactic experience dealing with the Zeta Reticula for the hybridization program and all of that. And I know that. But it's been years in the making and a lot of work for me to try and shed that out so that I don't have that fear going outside at night. And I knew when I came down here that I was going to have to work through some of that because there are no streetlights. It's pitch black around here, right? And the way that Joe's always operated the house is that he does not leave the porch light on at night. So the whole house is pitch black. The whole property is pitch black. And if something comes onto the property, it activates the sensor light, and the sensor light will go on, and then you'll know something has come onto the property. So when I first got here, that took me a minute to make peace with, because I was thinking like, well, wouldn't you want the front light? And he's like, well, what does it matter? Like, why would that make any difference, right? If the front light was on. And I had to think about that, and I'm like, that's really true. And then of course, laying in bed, my higher self would say to me, what does it matter? Because the outer reality is not there while you're here anyway. The outer reality does not exist while you're here, does it? And I would have to think about that and be like, no. And they're like, well, why are you setting a fear towards something that does not even exist while you are currently or presently here? And I was like, ah, that's such a good point, right? And so, as the days progressed, and I would go out at night at like 9:30, 10 o'clock to let lasagna out so he could go to the bathroom for the final time, I would look up at the stars, and it's dark unless the sensor light by the garage comes on, because he activates it when he runs out into the grass. And I would look up, and every night I would notice that there are these three stars in a row with each other. And every night that I was out there, they were in a different place, right? Like the Big Dipper's in a different place every night. And I'm like, how is that even possible that they're in a different place? Am I just remembering they were in the other place? Were they always in that place? Maybe they weren't in that place, and I just remember them in that. And then I started to realize, I'm like, everything is always in form, right? Energy is always in motion. It's always in motion. So if I'm trying to rectify the placement of the stars in the sky, then I am making it more permanent than it actually is. But if I can remember to be in flow with the energy as a creation or my creation, then I will always remember that I am the creator of all of it, regardless, right? That's important to remember. Okay. So the next phase of that came one night when, there's been a couple of instances where Bella had gotten attacked by another cat around here. That's a bully. It's a male, and he just, for no reason, comes up and charges her. And then I heard, her cry or screech, and it was late at night, and I'd run out there, and then I'd be afraid. I'm like, what is it? Is it a coyote? Or like, how do I protect myself against that if it's that, right? And then of course the next thought that comes in is the higher self, do you want it to be a coyote? Do you want to create that kind of a scenario where you can't defend yourself against something? Is that the game you want to play out? We could play that game if that's what you would like, And then in that moment, of course, I'm like, no, that's not what I would like. I don't want it to be that at all. I'd like it to be like another cat or something like that, But because I'm constantly in the flow state with my consciousness, I'm having these dialogues. And so the other night, when I was going to bed, I was laying down, going to sleep. Bella had been outside. I sat up. I waited for her to come back, and when she came into the house, and then we went to bed. And as I laid down, I was Oh, it was because I couldn't, she wasn't coming back. It was like getting close to 11, 11 o'clock at night. And so I took the flashlight out and I went outside and walked around the house to call for her. And then when I got back to the door, I still didn't see her, didn't realize she was behind me. When I got back to the door, I realized just before coming back in the door that I had just walked the whole property basically in the pitch black. As I passed the lights, I passed through the lights, it took a few minutes for them to illuminate and come on. But before then, I was walking the property in the pitch black and I was like, oh, look at that. I had no fear whatsoever. Right. So the inner dialogue heals the fear, right? Because it creates the awareness that we are the creator. And once you create the awareness that you are the creator, there is nothing to fear. You recognize that fear is the illusion. There is nothing to fear, right? And then I was able to get in bed and have this whole conversation with my higher self about the fact that, if I'm creating whatever it is that I'm choosing to experience, if I feel like I need to experience or have that experience, because there's something present for me in the having of that experience, then I certainly could create it. Unless I don't feel like I need it, then I don't need to create it. So think about that, right? Think about that. Think about how that plays into the stories of the childhood that we've had, where we were told, XYZ, and then maybe we think that that has to be our lineage, right? We have to participate in that way too, because it's just something that, is part of our makeup or whatever it is, right? So it's very, very important now more than ever with the way that these energies are so intensified to really pay attention to the conversations that you're having with yourself. These energies are extremely fast. They're the fastest creating energies I've ever seen yet. Okay. And they're creating so incredibly fast that whatever we're thinking is going to manifest. So we need to keep the thoughts in the higher states of consciousness. Okay. If there is something that you are working on, and I know I've mentioned this in the past, probably a year or two ago, but I feel like it needs repeating again. If there's something that you're working on, some project or something that you desire, or maybe you're looking to enhance your business or take on more clients or have some kind of a deal going through or get a new job or whatever it is, I highly suggest you go to the end of the meeting of whatever it is that you're doing and see the end of the meeting go the way that you'd like it to go. In other words, if you're going for a job interview, see yourself at the interview and the person saying to you, well, you're just so perfect for the job. I don't need to interview anybody else. You're hired. If you want the job, you're hired, right? Because that would be the outcome that you would want to have. Okay. If you're looking for new clients, then what you have to do is you have to see, like, basically see your name in lights and see money coming into your bank account, right? Lighting up your bank account, going like, oh my gosh, I can't believe every day this is the money is just like lighting up my bank account. Look at this. It's amazing how it's just flowing into my bank account and actually see the money hitting your bank account. Okay. And just be like, this is so awesome. I'm so excited. Money is just coming in, right? And there's no efforting required, but that's because you're raising your vibration to know that you're deserving of that money that's coming in. Okay. It's all up to us how we want to see something go. And I know I've worked with a couple of you on different things and how you want experience to turn out, whether it was, a doctor's appointment or a business appointment or, your own personal living situation or the sale of a house or something like that, right? Where we take ourselves to the end and we see the end in its success. That's what we need to do in order to bring through whatever it is, especially if it's something large that we're feeling a little intimidated by it. Okay. And so that's going to help us in the long run get to that next level of where we want to be. Because this energy is so potent and so powerful, it wants to help us. But we have to get out of the way, right? And we have to stop looking at everything from a skewed perspective and saying, oh, that can only happen if that happens, or this happens, or if this person does this, or that person does that, right? Or it only happens for them like that and not for me like that, right? We have to let go of all of those old stories that we have ever told ourselves. Now, this week is a very, very fiery week because of these intensified energies, but mostly because of the coronal holes that have opened on the sun. And because of the way the nature of these energies, these holes have been so intensified. Usually, what happens with a coronal hole, and I didn't know this, I just learned this, is the hole will open up, it will spew out its debris, it'll spew out a geostorm or some solar flares or some kind of cosmic spit up, right? And then usually what happens is over time it closes back up again, right? It's almost like a volcano. It does its thing and then it kind of comes back and it quiets down again. But we have one out there that's very, very sizable. And it's already sent out debris that they're expecting to impact us by May 17th. And they're saying that if the hole doesn't close before then, that there could be an even greater impact to the Earth because this is an Earth-facing coronal hole. And so a couple of the geophysicists, I think they're called, I'm not really sure of the terminology with the scientists that are reporting back on these incidents, but everybody right now is watching earthquakes because they have measured every large earthquake, and they're talking about like a magnitude 9 earthquake, right? Which would be devastating. But they're actually talking about the idea that because of the nature of these energies, the potential for a magnitude 9 earthquake is very great. And now, as they've been talking about earthquakes in general and predicting that there are going to be earthquakes, I believe that there have been 2 more earthquakes. I think one was in Myanmar and another one I can't remember where that was, but one was 6.2 and the other one was 7 something, right? So every day, the last couple of days, there was an earthquake. Oh, in Istanbul, Turkey. Okay. And then there was one in Sydney, Australia. Okay. One in Myanmar. So we're talking about some real intensified activity taking place. Now, if the earth is going through a shakeup like that, where the energies are super intensified, what do you think is happening within our bodies? Okay. And so we're going to feel it. Those aches and pains you're feeling, the pains in your hips, and I know a couple of you have reached out to me about that. These situations with the energies in the body is trying to move through this state of clearing and healing at the same time, right? And release the density, that as much density as it possibly can, which means that we have to pay attention to the fact that we're releasing density. And in order to stay in our bodies and stay grounded, make sure that we're eating grounding foods, right? Foods that are going to give us sustenance and keep us in our body so that we're not too flighty, because when we do get too flighty, then we get confused. We can feel out of sorts. We can get vertigo because the field is not balanced. Okay. And vertigo happens when the field is in an unbalanced state. I know a couple of times over the course of the last week, that I've noticed balance issues and thought to myself, okay, I need to really focus on being in my body because balance is going, the magnetics are shifting. We had another pole shift in the South Pole, right? So we have to, yeah, Sue was saying she had no appetite today, took three naps yesterday and then was awake most of the night. Yeah. I mean, every day I could say I'm getting up at like between 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning. Okay. And then there are some days, oh, the squirrel. Thanks, Linda. Yeah, that's such validation for what I was talking about earlier, right? But we could at any given time activate gamma, intense streams of gamma coming through, and then we're feeling jittery, we can't sleep, our legs, yeah, Tamara's saying same thing, having sleep issues, right? That's where the magnesium spray comes in, or magnesium. But if you're going to take regular magnesium, make sure you're taking calcium too. You have to take calcium with it, right? But I find the spray is faster, helps more. But you can also take something called Calm. There's a product on the market called Calm. You drink it. It's a like a powdered mixture you drink just before bed, and that'll help relax you. But the spray is really great because it just like it'll calm you down and put you right out, put you right to sleep, right? So wherever you can get that. And if you can't get it near you, you can always get it from me off the website. But it's important for us to understand what is going to nurture us, okay? And what might not be nurturing to us. It's very important to understand what your body can handle and what your body can't handle, right? Now, I know plenty of people that love chamomile tea or chamomile tea, however you want to say it. I can't drink it. I have a mild sensitivity to it, right? It's in the Asteraceae family, and I just can't do any herbs that are like a ragweed type of herb. It just, congests me. It makes my throat itchy and whatever. But lots of people like it, right? If you have to know what works for your body, what can you do that could be very calming and very beneficial and very nurturing to you, right? If you're feeling anxious or you're feeling tense and you're feeling a lot of heart energy, you might want to try hawthorn tincture. Okay. Hawthorn is great support for the heart energy. Another one that Sue and I were talking about the other day is a little bit of motherwort, right? Motherwort has always been my go-to with period cramps because it calms the body, it relaxes the body, it dispels the cramps, it tonifies the ovaries, right? I'm losing my train of thought. It tonifies the cervix, the ovaries, all of that to help alleviate the cramps. But you have to take it the right way in order for that to work. Okay. There's plenty of remedies out there that could be taken. Okay. Another good one for relaxation could be skullcap. Valerian could be another good one. We just want to make sure too, if we're taking anything at all, we're not taking anything that's gonna create a dependence to it, because we don't want to go down that road where all of a sudden you feel like you need to have it every single night, right? It's kind of why I like skullcap, because it doesn't promote that. I know some people that reach for St. John's wort, but St. John's wort has some contraindications to it. Like if you want to sit out in the sun, definitely don't take St. John's wort because it has a mild reaction with sun exposure. And certain medications, if you're on any autoimmune medications, certainly don't take St. John's wort because it will knock out any autoimmune medications. Oh yeah, passion flower, I didn't get to that, and catnip. Great suggestions from Sue. Passion flower is awesome, especially as a tea. You can do that as a nice tea. Catnip is another one. I love catnip. It's one of my favorites. So, try out different remedies, different herbals, right? Eat foods that are grounding, stuff that like a sweet potato could be very grounding and very nurturing, right? Grains like quinoa. It's a grain, but it's a protein. Okay. So we need to eat stuff that is going to make us feel calm. Yeah, lemon balm. Joanne is saying, like, great, Joanne, lemon balm. Yeah, that's a great one. Good suggestion. I love it. See, you're all herbalists in the making. It's wonderful. So you have to use what works for you. Okay. Tulsi tea is another one. I love Tulsi, right? Holy basil. But we have to use the things that speak to us, right? Something might or might not speak to you, do or don't use it. Whatever you feel called to, okay? There's no right or wrong answer. It's whatever resonates with you. But these energies are so incredibly potent that it's requiring that we do a little bit more. We pay a little more attention. We pay more attention to our thoughts. We pay more attention to our creations. Loretta and I were talking probably about a week ago about how when we are creating, it activates the gamma stream of consciousness, right? The gamma energies through us. So when we're in creator mode, and creation could be, making a tea, right? It doesn't have to be you're drawing a painting, but it could be drawing and painting, and it could be singing, it could be dancing, it could be any number of things. Whatever you're doing that has some kind of creation to it is going to activate gamma. And gamma is these is one of the energies that is streaming into us. And if our field is still adjusting to the gamma energies that are coming in to the planet, it might knock us out. We might need to sleep. So if you're finding that you're creative, making pottery, right? That's another good one. If you're making pottery, if you're playing singing bowls, anything like that, right? Anything that's creative. You're out in nature, taking a nature walk, doing little pictures along the way, photography, right? Anything that's creative, we have to have an awareness that it's going to activate streams of gamma consciousness, and those streams of gamma consciousness may make us more susceptible to headaches, body aches, pains, and that type of stuff. Okay. So it really requires a lot of nurturing. When we are nurturing ourselves, obviously, we are going to be soothing the nervous system, because gamma is working the nervous system. It's working the immune system, right? So we want to do things that are going to be soothing ourselves as opposed to stressing ourselves out more. So if you're feeling tired, don't sit up trying to do a puzzle. Go to bed, lay down, get your rest. Right. And we can't be thinking like, oh, I shouldn't be taking a nap, or I'm too young to nap, or I don't have time to nap. Right. Those are not valid reasons not to nap. Okay. If we're not feeling good, or we're feeling tired, or we're having pain in the body, we have to lay down and we have to take a nap. Right. Bella's taking a nap. She's right here. She's taking a nap. She's making herself very comfy, looking very cute, right? See, here she is. And so she knows how to nap, right? We have to learn how to take a cat nap. So these energies are super, super potent. We're going to see a lot of things in the next couple of weeks that are going to be shifting and changing. And one thing I want to say, as I always say, is if you are not watching the outer reality, if you are not paying attention, if you are not vesting your energetic currency in the outer reality in that picture, you are not going to notice what's going on. And you will soon come to realize that it doesn't really even exist. And does not affect you unless you become emotional to it. Okay. Very important to have an awareness to. All right. Because we don't want to put our attention into anything that is not going to give us a good return on our investment. We only want to put our energy into the things that are going to give us a good return on our investment. All right. Because otherwise it's like putting your money in a gumball machine that's empty, right? You turn the handle, there's nothing in there, nothing could come out, but you put your money in there anyway, right? That was a bad investment because you're not getting anything out of it. And you saw it right from the start, right? So it's up to us to have this awareness, to not allow ourselves to participate in false narratives and false realities, right? Start practicing the idea that when you are here, wherever it is that you are right now, that what's outside does not really exist, right? What's outside does not have an impact on you because it's only there when you create it, right? Start to notice that. Start to notice that how that is working, how that is manifesting, right? I had a thought today. It's funny. I have a bookmark and I had put it in a book that I read on occasion. And I took the book outside with me in between. I had a busy day today at 3 sessions. And I decided at one point I was just going to go sit outside. I wanted to give the chicken, Sunny, who's still in the Kate in the crate, the dog crate, some company. Hopefully she gets out of there this weekend. I think they're still trying to figure out what to do with her. But I went out there to sit with her and I took the bookmark. And as I was opening the book to read, and I looked at the bookmark and I read what it said, and it said something about dreams. And it just the saying on it didn't really resonate with me. And the first thought after reading it, what the very first thought I had after I read the saying on it, because I haven't read the saying in a long time, right? It was sitting in my drawer and I was like, oh, a bookmark. I'm going to use it to mark the book and maybe I'll read, you know? But the first thought that I had, like spontaneous thought, was like this saying, I forget who the saying was by. This saying is no longer relevant. Like it no longer resonates, right? Like it's dated. It's something from a 3D perspective or whatever that was on the bookmark. And the first thing I thought of is like, oh, I really need to exchange it for another bookmark, right? Need to. Now, I've had that bookmark probably for like, I don't know, 30 years. And it's got some little sparkly stuff on the end of it. It's metal, right? And it's stamped in with the saying on it. And it's got some streamers on the end of it with like some crystals and stuff. And I thought to myself, oh, I guess I should exchange this and upgrade it for something that's, a little bit more fits me a little bit more now or something like that. And so I looked at the time, realized I needed to come in for the class, picked up the book with the bookmark in it, and carried everything into the house, put the book down, got my computer ready and everything, and went back to put the book, excuse me, put the book in the place where I always keep it. And I was like, well, that's interesting. Where's the bookmark? And the bookmark was gone. And I thought, did I drop it? I would have heard it hit the floor on the way in from being outside, I'm sure I would have heard it. And then I went out twice, retraced my steps, and couldn't find the bookmark. And then I looked all around the house, and I can't, I bookmark is not anywhere to be found. And I thought, isn't it interesting? Like I was okay with letting it go. So the bookmark left, right? And it made room for me to now go and explore the possibility of another bookmark that might be more fitting, with a message on it that might be, more in alignment with where I am in this moment now. I thought to myself, well, wow, that's so profound that in spontaneously is gone. And my thought was, it no longer fits my purpose. Right? It no longer fits my reality. And then, as soon as I had that thought, it like literally disappeared. Okay. If it was a potato chip, I would have accused lasagna of eating it, but it wasn't. It was a metal bookmark. So these are the things that we can expect, right? That we can anticipate from the energies being so high and so fast. And I know there's a lot of people on a lot of different platforms talking about, timeline jumps and the big shift and all of that sort of stuff. But we're always in timeline jumps. We're always in shifts, okay? And some may be a little bit bigger than others at times, but we're always in that shift. Today, I was working with a client. It was my last session for the day. Oh, I'm sorry. It was my second session for the day. And I was sitting here having the session with them. And I looked up and looked out the window for just a second. And it literally felt like it was the first time I was on the earth. Like I had this profound awareness that was like it was just okay, this is so surreal in this moment right now, right? And then in the next moment, I was filled with the most profound feeling of love. So we're always shifting. There's always a dynamic at work, and we're always shifting our reality. So, but if we're waiting for somebody to tell us that we're shifting our reality, not now, lasagna. If we're waiting for somebody to tell us that we're shifting, lasagna, everybody, you're on camera. Say hello, hello. We're always going to be like a step behind because we're going to be waiting for that permission slip that says that we can shift a reality, or we can, jump a timeline, right? But we do that naturally. That's our natural state of being. That's in flow with our natural rhythm of being us. Okay. So that was coming through very, very strongly today, where it's really important for us to start to realize ourselves as sovereign beings. And not go in search of information that gives us permission to do this or that. Like we're the permission slip that we need. We don't need somebody else to tell us what to do or how to do it or when to do it, right? Like this is the only time you can do a timeline jump, or during this big, magnanimous shift with Saturn and Mars and Neptune and Pluto. This is the only time that this can happen, right? It's only going to happen right now, right? Which think about how that sounds. What it's doing is it's coming in like a big wave from the ocean, like this magnitudinal wave from the ocean that's now giving us a platform to get our surfboard out and ride this wave. And that's what it's doing. So it's important for us to continue to recognize that we're the power that we're looking for. We're the gatekeeper. We're the guru that we're looking for, right? We don't need to have the permission from anybody in order for us to access a new timeline, a higher timeline, a new state of thinking. All it requires is doing a better job with self-talk so that we're talking ourselves out of the old 3D constructs, right, that have been predicated on the idea of us not being able to do anything. We need somebody to tell us what to do. We need somebody to tell us where to go, right? I mean, think about how we interact or interplay with the government, right, with the medical system. The medical system that we all tie into tells us what doctors we're allowed to go to, right? Gives you a list of doctors. What's in your network? What's out of your network? Well, if you want to go out of your network, you're going to have to pay, So it's like we've had that. We've had that our whole entire lives. Now it's up to us to start to shift out of that and see that we don't need to play in any of that anymore. All of the old ways of doing things have to collapse so that we can start to create new platforms, new realities, and new ways of doing things. Does that make sense? Yeah. Does anybody have any questions? Because it's really important for us to understand this, right? I mean, we've been trained via, the TV and mailers, flyers, social media commercials, our families, our parents, that, if something is wrong with you, you have to go to the doctor. But it's been my understanding of energy medicine that when something is wrong with the body, it your body is trying to tell you through the health issue that you're having. And if you can look at the health issue that you're having, then you can find a way to work through whatever it is that's taking place for you that's not in your highest, best good, so that you can have healing again. Everything is working for us. It's not working against us. But if we go to the doctor and we let the doctor give us a medication, then we're masking the symptom and the real cause of what is creating the anomaly in our body. It's always going to be that way. Today, I got some very powerful news. So you all know that my client in London, Linda and John, you know that they are, she has been in remission from since last September, right? So that's very, very exciting. Complete metabolic remission means there is no trace of cancer in her body. And she did see the scans after she got that news of being in complete remission, and there was cancer throughout, right? Because it was a lymphoma, a stage four lymphoma. So through the work that we did together, and she was a real trooper. She did everything I asked her to do. Her husband was like my wingman. He kept everything in check. And we had Debbie come on and assist with sharing about her experience with cancer so that there could be some support there. Well, I was so excited and so happy for them and so pleased for them that they had that experience with going into remission. And now, of course, they've been role models for helping other people try to understand that we can heal ourselves, right? Because once you have done that for yourself, you know it can be done for anybody, right? That is what is the takeaway from that. And so today I was so overjoyed because my other client, who is also located in England, who was dealing with breast cancer, that had gone into the lymph nodes, and that's why she reached out to me because John and Linda told her about me. When it had gone into the lymph node, she knew she needed to do something else because she was doing holistic. So I, helped get her into a program where she was actually taking chemo, because I felt like she was at a point where we couldn't not have that as an option. It needed to be. But then we did so much work around resolving the thoughts, the fears, and the emotions creating cancer and creating fear. And again, Debbie was able to come on and share with her about her journey and, that she was able to beat breast cancer and all of that together. And then, of course, John and Linda sharing with her and all of that together gave her the end result, which she messaged me this morning, very excited to share with me that she just had a recent scan and got the results back that she is completely cancer-free. She is in metabolic remission also. Okay. So if you know anybody out there with cancer, I can certainly help them, but they have to be willing to do the work because in both of those cases, both individuals were completely on board doing everything I asked them to do. Sometimes it was, challenging to wrap their head around it, challenging to shift their state of knowing what they know, what they knew. Okay. In the case of the breast cancer, my client with breast cancer, Catherine, she is actually a nurse. And so she had to unlearn everything that she knew as a nurse in order to come into this new way of thinking. Because you have to remember, you're a nurse, you know about chemo, right? And you know how that works, and you have to unlearn it so that you can use chemo in a new way. We can bring it into the higher states of consciousness and make it something other than chemo in order for it to be miraculous in the body, which is what we did. And so she was able to do that and be fully present for herself and her treatments. And the end result is the miraculous. So I just wanted to share that too, because, these energies can bring us soaring to the new heights that we desire, but we have to be the one that is putting that intention out there. We have to be the one that is driving our bus, right? And, sometimes it feels like it's impossible to do, but then when you start to really understand and really pay attention to the work and how the reality is created, we realize we can move mountains, and everybody that's in our reality along the way is there purposefully to help us, right? In each step of the way, is there purposefully to share with us, to guide us, to amplify us, right? As much as I was there to assist and support and help both Linda and John, and then Catherine with her journey, they assisted and supported me with my journey. They assisted and supported me with showing me that the work that I know to be true can move mountains and heal cancer. I did it for myself, right? And so it just shows like everything and anything is possible, but we have to do the work. We have to do the self-talk. I can't stress that enough. And I know I talk about it all the time, but it is the most important thing that we can do for ourselves. We have to do the self-talk. We have to unprogram the programs that we have all been birthed into. And when we start to undo those programs and we catch ourselves and we don't let ourselves have those little slip-ups, right? That's when we start to see reality shift. That's when we start to see everything lining up for us in the way that we desire it to line up for us. And it's life-changing. And that is your timeline shift. That is your reality shift. That's your realm shift, right? Sometimes you could be out in the woods walking, taking pictures, and you take a picture and your sun flare from your lens on your phone camera might look like a fairy off to the side. And you're like, oh, look, I captured a fairy, right? And then you send it to me, and I'm like, I don't feel any energy there at all. That's a lens flare. And then you look at it closer and you're like, oh, damn it. Yeah, it's a lens flare, right? My next statement to that would be, but however, your universe is trying to tell you you're about to shift realms and call in the fairy realm. So you're going to have to stay present to have a desire to see the fairy realm and interact with the fairy realm, because it's right there. It's very palpable. It's there for you. And so they're asking you to get even more playful, which is why your lens flare looked like a fairy. Do you see what I'm saying? It's almost like the saying, fake it till you make it, right? You have to keep acting as if until you anchor it, until you nail it, right? Until you are so certain that you've got this nailed, you've got it locked down, right? That is one of the most important things for us to remember in all of this, is it's us, it's nobody else, right? I couldn't make Linda or Catherine heal themselves from cancer. I can't make them do that. I'm not. I could do Reiki for them. I could help them in all kinds of ways with, but at the end of the day, if the human doesn't want the healing, the soul can't have the healing. And that's just how it works, no matter how much we would want that, right? Tamara says, lately, when I tell myself I can create something, I'm hearing a little voice saying, no, you can't. I never heard that before. Yeah, because your soul is descending and integrating so much more that the ego, right, the ego voice is starting to recognize it's about to lose control. So in its desperation, it starts to get really loud. And that's what's happening in that moment. Your ego voice is getting super loud in its desperation to hold on, because it doesn't want to lose its place. Because you have to remember, it has been necessary all of these years for an anchor in order for us to stay in 3D and play the 3D game until we didn't need to play the 3D game anymore. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so you may hear that, and then your next parlay to that should be, shut up, ego.
Okay.
Shut up, ego. Or, yeah, that's not my truth, right? So something that counteracts that. Because if you don't say anything at all, that strength of the ego just moved over your higher self.
Okay. Thank you. Because I never heard that. This just started like a few days ago.
That's because the higher self is starting to come down, starting to get stronger. So the ego doesn't want to lose. Yeah.
You.
Yeah. It'll argue with you. It'll make you think you're supposed to be someplace else doing something else, right? I mean, look at my ego with moving to Florida. Did not want to be here. Didn't want to be here. The only thing I could tell you is I don't like the heat and I don't like the bugs. I've got mosquito bites all over me in between the crystals that are popping. So I'm just like a bunch of red lumps all over. Right, all my arms, my legs. I've got these red bumps all over the place. Half of them are crystals, half of them are mosquito bites. I had a crystal pop in the third eye. Then I had a cluster of them over here. I kept feeling my chakra points opening on the left side of my head, which was the activation, opening up that that left brain consciousness, right? I had a crystal pop on my neck. And then I got bit up by the mosquitoes the other night when I was sitting out. The no-see-ums got me, those little boogers. And so, the stuff I don't like, didn't want, right? But then last night, I'm trying to go to sleep. This is how I do it. Trying to go to sleep, and there's one on my ankle that is, no matter what I do, everything else gets calmed by the salve. The one on my ankle does not want to listen. I'm like, are you a crystal coming through? What is going on here? I feel like taking out a Brillo pad and scratching it because it was just that itchy, right? And so then my higher self comes through because my ego voice is really very small these days because of the amount of self-talk I do. And my higher self comes out and says, "Oh, are you gonna let that, are you gonna let that itch get you? You know that there is really no itch. It's the game you're playing with the whole mosquito bite thing, that you even think that you have to get bit by mosquitoes, that yeah." And then it was this whole big dialogue in my head, right? And I'm trying to go to sleep. It's 11 o'clock at night. I just want to fall asleep, but I'm having this whole big dialogue about how, at the end of the day, the mosquitoes are my creation because somewhere along the line, I am under the impression that I need to be bit up by mosquitoes. Now, mosquitoes never bothered my father, but they used to drive my mother crazy. And that's probably where I got this from, is like, the hand-me-down from one of your parents, And so here is my higher self coming in, telling me this is a creation of your consciousness because you believe you need to interact with mosquitoes. And you were told somewhere along the way that there's lots of bugs in Florida, yada, 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 right? And this is a conversation I'm having in my head in bed, talking about this, and finally got to the point where I had self-talked enough that the itch actually went away. Okay. Because the reality of it is this reality isn't the reality. It's not a reality. This reality is us actually being asleep and being in dream state. And this is the reality we're in, right? When we go to bed at night, we're actually in our main reality, which is why we feel like we're in, 50 different realities at one time, and we come back from a dream that says, "I was eating a banana, wearing a monkey suit, riding a unicycle, playing, cymbals," right? Because it wasn't just one dream that we were coming back from. We're coming back from a multitude of different places. And so this is how it works. And when we start to understand this, and we could do the self-talk that unwinds the programming, it does make a huge difference in how we're creating the reality, right? Rob says there are little stickers that can take the itch away and make the bite heal. Oh, well, I will take those until I can get a handle on how I am creating all of this in my reality, because I'm not interested in continuing to create this for myself. Thank you. I appreciate the link and I will share it. Debbie?
Sorry, I forgot to be near the mute button. It's funny because I don't know if you remember this, Maria. You had shared with me, because I live in Florida now and I've been here in September. It'll be 3 years, which I can't believe. but it's so funny because you said, "Oh, I there's," you said you had a mosquito formula that, and you said, "Oh, is it getting to be bad or when is this?" And I'm like, "Gee, I've been down here. I lived in Boca Raton for a year, and now I'm up in Central Florida." And near like the northern suburbs of Orlando, and I'm like, I haven't had any mosquitoes. And I've heard of no-see-ums. I remember when I was younger going to Florida to visit, and my mom and dad would talk, and people would talk about the no-see-ums and all that. I have not had one experience in whatever, since September of 2022, whether in South Florida and Boca or up here in Central Florida, I had an experience with fire ants that I never experience wanted to experience again, but not with mosquitoes or no-see-ums. I walk out, my husband and I sometimes go for a walk. We live off a trail, and I go for a walk. We go out to dinner like once a week, and we sometimes walk to a restaurant. And it could be in the evening when that would be when you might experience like being bit. Or I have not had one mosquito bite since I've been, but I have. It's like not. I don't even. I guess I'm just reinforcing the whole thing about the creation because it wasn't part of my mindset. I wasn't thinking about bugs. All of that. So it's just interesting when you said that because I'm like, haven't had a problem in 2.5 years at all. Like not even being bit once. Not.
I think because I have a lot of livestock around here, I have, I mean, there's chickens here, chickens and peacocks and quails, and there's donkeys and goats and horses, and there's a lot of flies and stuff. And so probably just seeing the flies is like triggering the awareness of the mosquitoes, but also it's different because I'm right by the water. Like I'm right on the water. If I drive 20 minutes up the road, 30 minutes up the road, I'm right on the water,
When we lived in Boca, we were about 12 minutes from the water. So, and we used to drive to the beach a lot
Yeah,
and
but
just.
I also heard they spray a lot there. Like they really heavily spray there. They don't spray here,
Okay.
And probably the reinforcement that I have from this is, from my childhood, because my father was against coming to Florida, even on a vacation. I remember him going, "Oh, the bugs are huge, the mosquitoes this, the mosquitoes that, whatever, and I'm not going to lie, I have seen some pretty big bugs, some really huge, juicy looking spiders,
Oh, well, we saw that. We had a wolf spider that was like this big in our bathroom that scared the bejesus out of us. So they're not dangerous, but they look like they could eat you. So
Oh yeah, they do. They look like they could eat you. And
scared the
like
crap out of us.
all kinds of bugs and everything. I'm working on it. I'm using it in my reality to heal the idea that I have to be attacked by a mosquito, So it's like I'm using that. Now, what's interesting is so when I got here, Joe said, I needed a flea collar for Bella, and I don't really like to put stuff on her. She hasn't had any vaccines or anything like that. Never really had any problems with fleas with her. And Lasagna had a couple of fleas, and I had taken a couple of fleas off of him, and Joe was going to get him a new collar and whatnot. And then I started working with Joe on what's creating the fleas, because remember, fleas are blood suckers. Like, so who's a blood sucker in your life, like sucking you dry. So he managed to get rid of those externals, right? It wasn't family, it was like the people around here, whatever. And then suddenly Lasagna had no fleas anymore. Like he's been clean and hasn't had any fleas for like the last, I want to say, 3 weeks. Right. So it's all in like what you're allowing, right? What you're allowing to bring into your reality. So I'm working on it because I know I'm heavily programmed from my family.
And you want to know something? The spider was in our master bathroom and it happened at night. Keith had already gone to bed. He goes to bed early, stayed up a little later, come up to bed, and there was this giant wolf spider in our master bathroom. And I still, every time I go in the master bathroom, I have to tell myself, I am not going to recreate that. I am not going to see another wolf spider in my bathroom. I have to, because it's like, what do they call it? Like stimulus response. When I walk into that bathroom at night, when I go to bed,
You have a fear.
It creates that because I saw that's where I first saw that giant ass spider. So, and I have to talk myself every night when I go in the, I will not go to the bathroom. I go in the bathroom, I talk to myself down. I say, I am not going to recreate that. This wolf spider is not coming back. It's not going to be here. And then I hear about people saying that snakes come through the toilet, through like the plumbing. So I'm like telling my, I look in the toilet bowl, I'm like, I'm not having a snake. I have the programming too, and I fight. I do the self-talk, and I fight with myself, because when you've had an experience that's so like traumatizing, it's like there, and you have to really work at it to talk yourself
Oh, I
out
know.
of it.
Oh, I
So
know. There's a
I don't have it with mosquitoes, but I have it with the spiders.
Well, there's a wolf spider that lives in this house. You know,
Oh
he's huge.
boy.
He's ginormous, but I mean, I don't think about him, so I'm
Right, you don't run into him then.
thinking I'm not, you know, like you stay in your corner, I'm staying here, and you don't need to come down into my reality, right? But you know, and it's like snakes and everything else. Like I know that they live around here and at any given moment, but I'm like, give me the cute and funky and you know, really. And so like yesterday I'm on a session, doing a session, the windows are all open here. And all of a sudden I see Lasagna run to the window and I'm like, uh-oh, what's out there? And I look up and there's this turtle. Now you think turtle is going slow, right? Doom. Doom, 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 doom. No, this guy, he's speeding across the lawn like a maniac, right? This turtle is zooming across the lawn, and then Lasagna starts barking and barking and barking, wants to go out and see the turtle. I want to go out and see the turtle. And then I think everything is okay. Turtle leaves, whatever. And then he's barking, barking again out the side window, and I look, and there's the turtle zooming across the lawn again. I'm like, what in what world a turtle's moving this fast? Like it just doesn't seem natural or you know, normal, whatever. So I mean, it's, you know, I'd rather have that though and create the funny stuff right in the reality than create the stuff that I don't really want to see. So, you know, it's all relative. So, but I look at it all. Nothing is bad. Everything has great purpose. I look at it all from the perspective of it's giving me an ability to heal the things that I might be afraid of, right? Or have been programmed to be afraid of. So it's an opportunity for all of that. And that works out beautifully, right? Tamara?
I wanted to say the little drugstore near my house has this organic bug repellent. I have a little bottle. I can go get you some
Yeah, no, I mean, I make a bug spray, you know.
want.
Sue's saying
Viable.
witch hazel works to heal the itch. You know, I've tried witch hazel, I've tried mint
Uh-oh.
toothpaste, that you know, for the bug bites. It doesn't really do too much. Myself, it's pretty good with them unless it's really significant, like if it's super significant. Then maybe not. But you know, Rob's gonna send me those little itch patches. We'll see about that and see how that works. But I make a bug spray, and the bug spray works for the most part until it doesn't. And it, you know, like it's something that you have to keep reapplying. So, you know, it is what it is. I look at it as an opportunity for me to work through whatever it is that you know, I need to let go of in my field that I may, you know, be holding on to that I just need to, you know, heal from, right? So that's the way I'm going to look at it. And I'm going to keep working with it and keep doing the self-talk that says, like, there are no mosquitoes. It's a figment of your imagination. You keep calling them in, right? Like, for whatever that reason is, you know, it's like when I start to like first when I first moved in, there was a gunshot next door, and then it was not one shot, it was like seven, eight, nine, ten, boom, 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 right? And then the next day it was across the street, and then the next day it was down that way, and I was like, all right, I gotta stop worrying about the gunshots, you know, and there are people shooting shotguns, and like I said, my neighbor next door shooting the squirrels that eat his wife's plants. I went from moving in here to having like, you know, probably 10 or 12 squirrels come into the feeders every day eating the nuts and the seeds that I put out there for the birds. to like having no squirrels at all. I'm like, where are all the squirrels? So the other day I hear a gunshot and I'm like, what would the guy next door be shooting at? Like, what is he shooting? And Joe's like, he's shooting the squirrels that eat his wife's plants. And I'm like, are you kidding? And he's like, no. So, I mean, I don't want to see that either. I don't want to hear that either. So I'm going to now have to talk to all the squirrels in the neighborhood and let them know telepathically, do not go on to this property over here because you will get shot and made at mincemeat out of. So do not do that, right? So telepathically, I'm going to have to tune in and let them all know that they are on high alert. Come here. You can eat all the seeds and nuts you want. I don't really care. Have a blast, have a ball, whatever, right? It's kind of sad to see that and that has to be done, but it is what it is, right? That's lower consciousness. And, I don't feed into that, right? I mean, he comes from a place of lack anyway, because he was telling me that the guy that I'm paying to do the lawn is charging me too much money. And I said, well, listen, I come from New York where for a quarter of an acre, they wanted to charge $40. So I think, it's probably, they're probably mowing 2 acres of property here. So for 2 acres of property, $120 doesn't seem like a bad thing. He's taking a lot of the dead wood away, cleaning up the property, making it really look nice and everything, because some trees fell during the storms and whatnot. So I'm like, you know what? He remembers he brought his chainsaw. Nice guy, two good old boys, So he comes over the other day and he's like, oh, I found somebody else. You want me to send him your way? I'm like, no, I'm gonna keep these guys. They actually remembered to bring the chainsaw and take some more wood with them, and they're not charging me for a cleanup. No. No, I'm going to keep them. Because why I'm going to pay somebody a lower price. They're not going to do half the job these guys are doing. They're going to want more money anyway to cart the stuff away. And then I'm in lack because I'm not willing to honor somebody else's work. What? Hey, come on, right? So, if I want to be paid, I have to honor somebody else. I have to be willing to pay somebody else, right? So, I mean, it's so silly. It's really so silly. But when you see it clearly and then you realize, and it's like, lower consciousness shooting the squirrels over there. Now I'm out to save the squirrels and I have to put out a telepathic message to everybody, So it's kind of funny, but like these are the games that we're going to play as we start to raise our consciousness. Everything becomes important, right? Everything is speaking to you, everything is connecting with you, right? Don't you find that? I mean, that's the nature of the game. And, when because of the way that this human game operates, we're calling it all in. We're making deals in sleep state for people to show up in our realities to support our journey because we may need a kind word or we may need to hear something from them that, is going to help keep us on track for ourselves, right? Miss Arlene. She's like, I know she's going to call on me. I know she's going to say my name. Do you want to share your story? Because that was such a great story. Because this is how it works, This is how it works. But if we're not paying attention, if we're not present, we might discount something, not realizing it is a message for us.
So what happened was, so Monday was Easter Monday, so the boys were still home from school that day, still had PA day. So we decided to go to the mall that's out of town, and it was just interesting. So we're there, and actually, so the day before, Marie and I were having a conversation, about different visions I was seeing, and for myself and with my ministry now, as I'm like in that endeavor and stuff like that, and. And just like these visions I was seeing. And then what was interesting was, so we go to this mall And then my boys and I, we did kind of decide to go our separate ways. And so I didn't get very far. And then I, you know, when I go to, whenever I go out, I always smile at people and say good morning, whatever, right? That's just the way I am. And so this gentleman, this older man, probably in his, 70s, and or even older, and he's like, with his little walking stick. And I look at him and I smile too, and he looks at me, and then we kind of like look back at each other, and he's just like, he just starts off with, I just have such, love for humanity and all this stuff. I'm like, okay. And he's like, do you have a second to talk? And he's like, are you a Christian? And then, so we started talking, and so we step over, and it was just amazing. He starts telling me about how, when he was younger, he had all these ailments and these things that happened. I think he got into an accident, and, to kind of make a long story short, he went to this church with his mom. There was a faith healer there, and he basically said, as he's sitting there in the church, he's praying to God, and he just said, I know that you can heal me. I have faith that you can heal me in 9 different ways. I don't need to go through the middle, through the middleman, right? I'm like, I just go directly to you. And boom, he was healed. Like, his mom literally had to like help him, like, because he had to crawl to get into the church, and his mom had to help, basically help lift him onto the chair to be able to catch the service. And that was it. And then so his mom's freaking out, all these things are happening. And it was just interesting, because then he's telling me how in a span of 24 hours after this happened, he was being guided, by his higher self, by God directing him where to go. And and from that, he started talking to, just different random people who were seeing him in their dreams the night before. And in that dream, it told them to come here, like to that space. And they were talking, and, and this is how he built his ministry. And just, it was just amazing, and we were talking about a lot of different things. And, even though maybe I don't follow a lot of the same, like, maybe religious belief systems that he does, but there was a lot of things that we spoke about that we both, agreed with. And just seeing the way he was talking, it was basically, and just the way he was talking about his ministry and sharing his, the information he had and how he was helping, just people, these random people, and how he built this, his ministry. And he's already written 4 books, and he's been around the States and Canada, and now he was heading over to the UK and then eventually to Europe. But what was interesting is basically a lot of what he was saying and describing what he's done was literally the visions I've been seeing that I was sharing with Maria just the day before. And, still thinking to myself, like, oh my gosh, like, how am I gonna, how do I even believe what I'm seeing in my visions, and how am I gonna make that true? And I just, yeah, like, not so much doubt, but more of like, not doubt in my higher self team, but more doubt in me of how do I even present myself? Like, how do I even step into that, right? And it was just,
Yeah, it just
yeah.
felt so big in the moment to you. And then this guy comes and validates how to do it and that it can be done and all of that. Yeah. I mean, these are the moments that we're having. You put it out there and you need something coming back to you to give you that affirmation that, yeah, you're on the right path and what you're having visions of is where you're headed or what's to unfold. Right? And that's huge. So, this is available to all of us, but at the same time, we have to be seeking higher states of consciousness. We have to be seeking different ways of operating, different ways of being, right? And we have to remember, if we're the higher conscious being in our reality. Let's say you're in a partnership with somebody. If we're the highest conscious being in our reality, then don't we want to dictate the reality that we're going to be living and operating and playing in? We don't want to play in the lower person's consciousness or reality, right? We don't want to leave it subject to them. We want to create our higher level reality and operate from that perspective. So I think it's really important to start having an awareness. These energies will give you exactly what it is that you're asking for. If you are willing to be present, to be as present as possible, to offer yourself as a conduit, right? And like Arlene is saying, is in this exchange, she was offering herself as a, she had no idea what this guy was gonna say to her, but in that moment, she was operating from the purest state of compassion, willing to listen to a complete stranger, and then in the midst of it, realized he was having a message for her. It was like, you know, her higher self, her universe, God, source, consciousness sent him to deliver a message. Right? So think about the power in that and how that is so impactful on us, but only impactful when we're going to allow ourselves to be a receiver. Right? That's so important. It's so important that we have to be present, we have to show up, we have to be a receiver in each moment. Sue?
That's amazing. I just wanted to say that's amazing, Arlene. I dreamed about you the other night, Maria, when I wasn't sleeping. So you came in to give me support, and I really appreciate it. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you.
So, like Maria, you told me when I was getting stuck on certain places to move to, that we could call in exactly what we wanted. Like we didn't have to compromise, right? It's like, okay, we have 5 out of 10 things, so that's pretty good. But you were the one who said, no, go for everything on your wish list. So, and actually, Terry totally supported you in this. So, yay, Terry. But it was like, as soon as like we sold our house, this place came into our reality, and it had absolutely everything on our wish list, like every single thing. So, and like I have to give Terry a little clap again because he said, well, I really want to ask for this. And I was kind of like, oh, you don't want him to like back off and not want you as a tenant. And so when we talked to the man, and he's very nice landlord, very, very nice. And it's kind of funny because he is also a real estate agent and showed our house 3 times. So like he was already in our field. And so when we went to see the place, he's like, I know you. And he was like really excited to rent to us. And so Terry found a segue where he could ask for a lower rent. And we were in competition with one other couple. And he just decided that he really, really wanted us to be tenants, and he took $25 a month off our rent, which is like Terry wanted to ask for a lower rent. This place had like everything. And I thought, well, like you shouldn't ask for more. But Terry was bold and he's like, no, I'm gonna ask for more. And it totally worked out. And then after that worked out, Terry was telling me about all of the abundance he noticed yesterday. And it was like, who is this man? So, anyway, thank you to you and Terry for keeping me in the higher realms.
That's you upholding the higher realm, though, asking for that, and then Terry shows up to support that, right? You don't know how that looks. We don't know how that looks. We don't know how it's going to look. So, Fiteri, it was asking for, a lowered rent, even though it was a place that had everything. There was something within him that said, I'm feeling the alignment of this. Right? Yeah.
So
So,
anyway, we're moving
yay. Good
next month.
for you.
We're moving. So, and on the weekend, we saw, well, the boys saw bunnies. They always see bunnies because they're bunnies in the Chinese zodiac. They always call in bunnies. Drew saw a porcupine. He was the cutest little thing, just sitting there with his little black face in the tree. And I saw a pheasant. Actually, I saw a female pheasant, and then I saw a male pheasant, and it just spoke to me of just absolute beauty and abundance, because I think of pheasants as being like the male pheasants are just so gorgeous with their colors. So we saw so much wildlife on this trip. It was just amazing. So yeah. I just wanted to put some light in, as always.
Very cool. Yeah. Awesome. Good stories. I love these stories. Yeah. But that's how it works, when we're willing to play in the higher realms and see what we're able to create. And we can be in complete flow. We dictate the reality, right? So much can happen, but we have to stay in the awareness to it. Otherwise, we're going to forget ourselves as a creator of the reality. And then, if we're letting the universe, if we're letting, remember the old guys of like, well, the universe will give you, or the universe will support you, the universe will create for you, no, we are the universe. We're all of it, right? But if we leave it subject or suspect to the external reality, then what we're really doing is letting the collective consciousness dictate for us what that reality should look like. We don't want to do that. The collective consciousness, for the most part, can't find their way out of a paper bag, right? So we don't want to do that. We want to be the creators. We want to come from the highest place within us and create from the highest place so that we're feeling supported in everything that we do, right? So it requires the self-talk, it requires the awareness, it requires us being present for what is playing out in our reality. It's requiring us to really root into what it is that we're desiring for our experience so that we can create that, right? If we want to heal from cancer, we have to have a desire to heal from cancer. If we want to lose weight, we have to have a desire to lose weight, right? If we want to make pottery, we have to have a desire to make pottery, right? We can't go in halfway in. We can't do that because we're not going to heal the cancer. We're not going to lose the weight. We're not going to make the pottery. We have to have that desire. We have to have that intention. And that is something that is really important, right? Two things that are critical here in this journey is to have desire and have intention. And you have to feel it. You can't leave it suspect to, what somebody else is thinking or what somebody else says, right? It's got to be for you. You have to feel it. So.
I wanted to let you all know that the name of our street is a Cree word, and it's Taska Manwa, which means connection, gathering place, and community. So that's our new address. So
I just thought that was so cool, especially with like starting up the Stargate community. So yeah, I forgot. I wanted to tell you guys
That's
that.
really cool. Yeah, very good. See, everything is always working out, right? When we're paying attention and we're tuning into things like that, everything is always working out, you know? Like I said, we can either let these energies and the outside reality dictate to us what we should think, do, feel, where we should be, how we need to show up, or we get to run the show. It's up to us, right? Now, obviously, if you're working a job, right, you only have so much flexibility in that job. But if you take yourself in that situation where you have a responsibility to all of these other people that you're working with, and there is some kind of a faction that's in charge of the bigger picture, whatever, you can still play with that. You can still create from that, right? The reality that the idea that you have in your head about the corporate environment that you work in is the old idea. So the minute you start to swap that out for the new idea of what that corporate environment could look like or how it could better support you, and you start to put that influence out into the field, into the reality, it has to show up for you. Right? Now, it might not show up overnight, depends on how good you are creating the reality. With your intentions and your desire, but it will eventually show up for you. Okay. And so it's very important that we stay present enough to see what are we doing? What are we creating with that we've always created with, right? We go into our day-to-day experience and sometimes we go in with routine. Right. Well, this is how it works. I get up in the morning, I grab a cup of whatever, and I have my half hour, get in the shower, get myself together, head out the door, and go to work. When I get to work, this is what happens. That's next. Then I run into this situation over here, right? And we have it all laid out. Now, if we want a different experience, we have to create a different experience. And by that, I mean, in the morning, you're going to get up, but you're going to change something in your routine. You're going to change one thing in your routine, right? If you always have, let's say, a cup of coffee and you're having it in the same mug every single day because you prefer that mug, try having it in a different mug the next day and see what's different about your day. See how your day develops, right? Again, if you are somebody that has to go into a job, don't park in the same place at that job that you always park in. Park in a different parking spot, the parking spot right next to the one that you always park in, right? Go in with the idea that everything is going to show up for you differently. And then start to pay attention and notice what's going to show up differently for you that day. Right. When you start to realize that you're creating all of it, you're creating the stream of consciousness that you're interacting with in your day-to-day experience, you're going to start to notice that it has pliability, right? Energy is always in movement, it's always in creative form. All right. And so if you start to, it's like I explained in the beginning of the class when I was talking about the stars and going out at night and looking at the stars. And the first night that I looked out and I saw the stars, I mean, the sky was filled with a bazillion stars, but this one set of three stars that were directly in a row. And then I kept seeing it in the same place, in the same place, in the same place. And then I went out after I think we had a full moon, and I thought to myself, something to do with the way that the full moon came up, because it comes through my bedroom window in the back of the house. It comes through the bedroom window and came up. And it was the second night that we had the full moon, and the direction and where the full moon came from. I was looking out the bedroom window. I expected it to come more from the left side. But when I looked out and I was like, how come there's so much light over toward the right side of the window and there's nothing on the left side of the window? And I'm like, no, that can't be possible. And I looked out the window and the full moon was all the way over to the right. It had been all the way over to the left. And I thought something shifted here, something shifted. So I went out to the front of the house and I went to look at the stars in the sky. And instead of those three stars being in a row above me, those three stars were in a row, but they were all the way over that way. Okay. And so when I started to realize this, I said, well, you know what? It's definitely indicative of energy is always in motion, right? Energy is always in creation. And if we were powerful enough that we could see the energy that makes up the walls and makes up the floors and makes up the sofa that we're sitting on or the chair that we're sitting on, and we'd be able to also deconstruct that energy and then put that energy back together again and create something different with it, right? Create a different experience, create a different look with it. I'm not there yet. I can make the molding bend. It wavers, right? I can do that, but I can't effectively look through the wall yet, right? Working on it, but can't do that yet. But if we could do it, we could literally shapeshift the house, right? But the outer reality, the outside reality, in other words, the sky, is something that's more pliable to work with because it's not a fixed structure. It doesn't even seem like a fixed structure. Okay. So play with the sky. Start to see, you know, if you can, if you the next day, the next time there's a full moon, expect the full moon to come up in a different place or from a different direction than the night before. And see how that works out, or go outside and expect the stars to be in a different place, right? To be moved over or something like that. You know, start to be playful, right? Like I said, everything has the ability to be reconstructed. And when you think about your day-to-day experience, whether you're going into your job or like me, you're gonna have a client session. The most important thing to understand is that nothing is written in stone. Nothing is set in stone. So throughout your whole entire day, you have an opportunity to rewrite how you'd like to have that experience, what you'd like to have as your reality. Does this make sense? I know we're going high, right? We're going stratosphere high here. But it's what's coming through, so I'm just rolling with it. So, but it's important for us to realize that we are creating everything in this reality. There's nothing that we're not creating, right? Lately, my expectation is that when I talk to Bella, she'll understand exactly what I'm saying. And she'll be right there following me at my heel, right? What cat do you know that is gonna follow you around like a dog would follow you around? But yet Bella is so tuned into me and I am so tuned into her that she's right there. Every time I look for her, call for her, whatever, she'll always come. She's right there, right? It's just the reality that I'm creating. It's like I understand her from a deeper perspective. It's like I said the other day, everything is speaking to me. Are you letting everything speak to you? Are you interacting with everything? Are you seeing the amazing in everything? right? Or are you just seeing the mundane? Are you just looking at a tree going that a tree is a tree, right? Or are you looking at the tree like this tree is here with great purpose for me? Just for me. It's showing up for me. I created this tree in this likeness just for me. Do you see what I'm saying? Right? Wherever you go, that should be how you go. That should be the way that you're influencing your field. Okay. Sue says her dad taught her how to make clouds disappear. Yeah. You controlling the weather. You know, we can make them appear, we can make them disappear. Absolutely. We can play with the weather at any time. Everything is our creation, right? There's not one thing that's not our creation, right? Does anybody have any questions, anything they want to share? We're in this big energy stream right now, okay? And so I have, where are they? I have questions for you to ponder or journal, okay? What do I choose to no longer carry forward? What needs to end with me right now, right? What do I need to let go of right now? And what's changing for me? What do I need to do to become more fully myself? Right? So many times we wear a costume of something that we think we need to emulate in order to be the better version of ourselves that we are, right? We want to be our best version of ourselves, but in order to do that, I have to wear this, or I have to look like this, or I have to have that in order to be the best version of ourselves. Okay. What can you let go of that you do not need in order to create the best version of yourself? What maybe have you been hiding behind? That's something that you can let go of. Does that make sense? Because right now it's really important for us to be able to create the path that we want to create, going forward on April 27th, we're coming into new moon energy again, right? It's just a couple of days. And it's going to be a new moon in Taurus, which is going to reconnect us to the energy of Taurus, which is, things that are stable, what is able to be endured, what is real for us in our reality. It's about not overthinking. Right? Not overthinking what we're trying to create, allowing ourselves to just create the expression of who we need to be or what we need to be, right? Is, in other words, does the stage that I'm setting for myself to be a speaker feel right? Or do I need to add flowers? Do I need to add a podium? Or is it okay just like it is? Can I just stand there as myself with a microphone and just be okay? Right? This is where we're going forward, right? Is it good for what we need in our day-to-day experience? Or do we need to change something to make the experience more comfortable or feel better or feel more aligned? That's going to be really important, right? Can we see that, right? Do I need anything more than what I have right now? Right? I've been talking about getting rid of the furniture, that I paid to have carted down here, right? Now all of a sudden it's like my higher self is like, yeah, just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. You don't need any of it. Just get rid of it, right? And I'm like, what do you mean I don't need any of it? Where am I? What about when I leave here? Like, where am I? You don't worry about that right now. Just get rid of it. Lighten your load. Just lighten your load, right? And I know whenever they do that, there's always a great reason why they're doing that. And I'm like, all right, should I put it on eBay? Like, how do I do? No, just donate it. Donate it. I'm like, okay. You do know, universe, I just paid like $7,000 to get moved down here. And now you're asking me to just like give that shit away. Hello? Is anybody listening to me? And the universe is like, yeah, we don't care. Just give it away. Right? Okay. All right. That's what we're doing. So we're going to call Habitat for Humanity and have them come pick it all up, the things that we don't need, and just get rid of it and donate it all. Because we're going someplace else after this. I don't know where we're going. It's going to be a surprise, as it always is, right? Because it's just like I didn't expect to be here. This was a surprise. And what do I know? I know I got to trust the universe. I also know I'm in my perfect place right now. Like, there's nothing more perfect than this. Right? It suits every need I have. And it's allowing me to grow in ways that I might not have been able to grow anywhere else. Right? So I'm going to get rid of the stuff that I don't need, downsize my storage unit, and see where I'm going with that stuff next, because obviously it's time for it to go. Now, this is the fun, but if I was stuck on keeping the stuff that I paid a handsome ransom for to cart down here, that I might be blowing a gasket, right? But I know how the universe works, and I'm like, okay, it was the experience I needed to have. Was I able to do it? Yeah, I did it successfully. You know, when you think about moving 1,000 miles away, you don't think, you can do this on your own, but yet you can. You can, you know. I had a great shotgun for the ride, and here I am, right? So I'm just saying, test yourself, test the waters, let yourself try it out. But if you're always playing safe, you're not gonna know, right? You gotta like stretch yourself and stretch your limitations. And then when the universe tells you something crazy, like, just get rid of it, you just go, okay, I know there's great purpose in this too, right? And instead of stressing why or whatever, just do it. And something amazing, something magical is going to come back to you, because there's great purpose. There is great purpose in everything, even something like that, right? Arlene?
Kind of going back to what you when you were talking, when you're asking the questions and talking about speaking. So it's triggered a thought in me. And I guess, yeah, I would see it as, I don't know if it's a fear, but it's more of uncomfortable and trying to, I guess, figure out the reason why. So when you're speaking about speaking in person, they are speaking in public. So what's interesting is, so I struggle with that, as you know, and even though I'm doing now a lot of these classes and stuff, and it's forcing me to speak to groups of people, it's still really uncomfortable for me. But one thing that I've noticed in my life is that, I've been given, I guess, I don't know if you want to call them gifts, or just always put in scenarios where I'm called to be upfront. Right. And kind of make myself known. So like, growing up, it was with singing and playing guitar. So even though I could do those things, I was always nervous. But then I was always forced to kind of be up there and sing, and then, doing other things. So like doing Zumba, and then I needing to be up front and be the instructor. And then now with, teaching these classes, doing the meditation, and now with the ministry and eventually officiating weddings, I'm going to be out in front officiating weddings. So I don't know, it's It's that thing where it's like I think about it and it makes me laugh in a way because most of my life I've always been kind of given these gifts or these purposes to be out in front, but yet that's the one place I don't want to be. Like it just makes me so uncomfortable. And I don't know, I just, and when you're asking about that, it just kept, I kept like having that come back up. And I don't know, like I don't know how to ask the question or what I'm trying to say, but it's just, you know, it's what I notice,
Because
and
in
I don't know how to move past that because I'm thinking clearly I'm supposed to be talking, but that just doesn't feel comfortable to me ever.
because in what's coming through is in your past past lives, parallel realities, you were never allowed to do that. You were never allowed to do that. So in this lifetime, you're here to make sure that you're up front holding the microphone, right? And so it doesn't feel comfortable because in other realities, in other lifetimes that you tried to be that person, you were always made to be the team player. No, not, you're just come join us, but you're not going to be like the main person out there, right? And in this lifetime, you're here to be up front, to be seen. One of the key players for 2026, because 2026 is really when the healing is going to start happening for humanity, right? We're still in the disclosure energy this year is going to all be. The volatility of all the stuff that's going to come up to the surface and people learning truth and being frustrated and upset by it. But next year is going to be the one year. It'll be a year of renewal and rebirthing when those people like yourself that are going to be the next leaders in the forefront of what is are going to be stepping up to assist and support and help and heal those that are in need. So you're being asked to do that now in preparation for that, so you could be recognized next year as a leader to go to for that purpose. But it is because you've never been able to do that before. And this is the year that it is very much needed for you to do that, right? So those moments that you were put up front in Zumba and all those other situations kind of was, acclimating you to the waters of, front and center and get, having the stage so that you could hold a microphone because that's going to be where you're headed.
Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yep, it does. Thank you so much.
Big stuff to come, right? So if you're on your healing journey now and you're thinking you've want to be a support system to those who are going to be needing it next year, you're in grooming now for that. That is what you're here for. Rob is saying, I've had stage fright my entire life, but always end up in front in the spotlight in a band. And as a supervisor, et cetera. You're constantly in the spiritual work, showing the way, showing and achieving accomplishments that you set yourself up for. I know even with, the struggles and maybe the health stuff that you've been going through, but you're always looking for ways to maximize to rebound and come back and be stronger and better. And now, if I'm not mistaken, I did see a post where you lost weight, right? You've lost a lot of weight, and that's been exciting for you. And so these are the opportunities and the moments for you where you can step up to the stage front and center and hold the microphone and be a support system, a champion, a leader for others who may be struggling with the way in which they can find themselves, right? Because that's really what that's all about, that soul searching, right? Coming into those deeper places, because you can't do any of that. You can't lose weight, you can't heal the body unless you have the intention and the desire, and it has to be something that has to be important. So when we take ourselves important and we really start to pay attention to our needs and really start to speak the words that the soul needs, that the heart needs, that the organs need in the body, that's, you know, we can do the healing, and then weight loss becomes easy because we're not judging ourselves anymore, and we're not operating from the perspective of limiting beliefs and judgments, right? That's a really big one. So yeah, does that make sense?
It does, thank you.
Yeah. How much weight did you lose?
74 pounds now.
That's amazing. I know. When I first had cancer, I went through that, and I think I got down 97 pounds. You know, it's yeah, it's a it's an undertaking. You need to be applauded for the tenacity and the work that you've done to bring yourself into that state of health and well-being. But see, this is what is going to be needed going forward in the next year, right? In 2026, as people really come back into themselves and they want to explore, hey, how can I get myself in a better place, in a better position? That's where somebody like you can step right up to the plate. As a matter of fact, I referred somebody to you, might have been Diana, to talk to you about crystals. Yeah, because I'm like, listen, I don't really use them anymore. I'm kind of out of the loop on them. Occasionally I wear them. Lately, as you can see, I am not wearing anything. It's this, I don't know, whatever. But yeah, so I referred somebody to you to talk to you about, you know, crystals. I'm like, go talk to Rob. Rob will tell you everything you want to know. He may even have some really good suggestions for you. So, you know, I want
Gladly.
that. What's that?
Gladly, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, I recognize that. And, you know, who's going to be my best person for that is going to be you. Yeah. If somebody came to me and asked me, you know, about weight loss or whatever that they needed, I'm going to point them in your direction. You know, this is how this is going to work, right? Because I can't do everything, right? I just can't do, nor do I want to do everything. It's just not feasible for me. And there's certain things that I'm more called to do than to do those types of things. But those types of things are extremely important, extremely necessary, especially for people that are just awakening to the idea of crystals or wanting to use crystals, or maybe they want some new type of crystals, right? And so, you know, I mean, on your other page, you know, Crystal and Rob, I don't know. I would maybe do a crystal a week and post a picture of a crystal and then talk about that crystal and start putting yourself out there, because by next year, you know, people are going to be looking for this stuff, right? So I feel like that could be super, super beneficial. And then who knows where you'll be, what you'll be doing with that after that point. You know, I mean, my go-to people for crystals back in the day were Al and Donna, but I haven't dealt with them or talked to them in probably 20 years. So you know, I'm not going to be pointing anybody in that direction, but you were the first person I thought of when they mentioned crystals, and I was like, see, Rob,
That's cool.
I can't help you.
Yeah, I gotta say the funny thing about the crystals is that I was never really into crystals, but for whatever reason, I was attracted to having them. But I had no, I didn't understand the purpose. For whatever reason, it was like the shiny diamond, and I would go to Mystic Warrior in Huntington, and I'd buy a piece of ooh, tiger's eye. It was like jewelry to me, and I'd say in the last year or so, especially the last few months, these crystals show up for whatever reason. Actually, even during COVID when I was sick, crystals show up in my life and I don't know the reason yet, but then it comes along and I'm, oh, that's right. That's why I ended up with that 27 pounds piece of selenite or the two, I forgot, I think it's stilbite. There were two crystal clusters I ended up buying at the crystal church upstate. No idea why. The crystal I wanted didn't have a price, and these two attracted me. I bought them, brought them back to the car, and then looked them up, and they were both lung crystals.
I was
And
just
I was
gonna
still
ask,
healing from COVID.
are you sleeping with them under your bed?
No, they are right by my bed, though.
Probably wouldn't hurt for you to put them under the bed where you sleep so that you're being able, you know, I mean, like back in the day, I would have put them right in my mattress when we had two mattresses, but my bed doesn't have two mattresses anymore. It only has one mattress and, you know, the platform. So I would say put those in position under the bed so they're always, you know, projecting up, and you're
Right.
sleeping in that bed at least 5, 6 hours, maybe 7 hours. I would put them right under there, you
Yeah,
know.
actually, there's a space under the bed. There's no box spring. I can put it right there. Yeah.
So I would put them under there. And I do feel you are called and inclined to work with crystals. And I don't, that's something that you should think about opening up to, or thinking about looking into, or whatever, because that's going to be an important aspect going into next year, you know, where it's going to be able to facilitate healing for people who will be, you know, looking for to connect with somebody who can help them access crystals and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
I'll take that.
when I first started with Reiki, you know, my office had all kinds of bowls of different crystals, some tumbled, some, you know, raw crystals and whatnot. I had like all kinds, selenite, you know, rose quartz, regular quartz, smoky quartz, like all different kinds, right? Apatite, all different ones. And
It's a
I
favorite.
Yeah, and I had sage, and I would sell sage and Palo Santo and everything. So, I mean, the potential for that, I think you know, they're calling you for a reason. I would just really try to avail myself to that and open to that, you know, so that you can come full circle into what they're asking you to align with.
Okay. I guess you've taken off of that. I actually created that page 2 years ago, originally for the Reiki practice that I was going to start. I'd finally finished my Reiki master with Kate. And I ended up, Kate actually mentioned in the group with the Reiki shares. She's like, well, Rob, you can be our crystal person because everyone's has all these questions and the crystals are showing up. So that's why I started. That kind of went in that direction with the page. And for whatever reason, I fell away from the crystals for almost a year. And recently, since the car accident, I walked into my room one day and boom, they were there. And I was like, couldn't get away from them. And since then, it's been growing and the collection's going and the use of them also.
Well, you weren't ready for them. You have to be aligned for them. You know what I'm saying? You have to be activated to them, and you weren't letting yourself be activated to them.
Oh,
And
yeah, stuck in my
that's,
head.
yeah. And that's been something that's been in your, you know, in your field for a while that I've been seeing, but now it's very prevalent to me. So I'm just calling it out and saying it as it is. I did refer somebody to you. So hopefully at some point they reach out to you if they are needing the help with the crystals, because I really feel like that would be a strong point for you, especially since you have the Reiki background, you
Yeah,
know.
I do send Reiki to all the crystals and charge them. And yeah, I gladly anyone that needs help with the crystals or information.
So just see, putting that out there, Rob is the go-to. Arlene, did you want to say something to Rob? I saw you put up something in chat.
Yeah, no, I was just saying because when you were talking about, the crystals and with the Reiki and everything, and then I was seeing a possibility for you where it was like you make like a bundle, so you have like the crystal wand or like one of the wands, like one of the crystals connected with one of the either like the sage and like the cedar and then the Palo Santo, and it's kind of like just wrapped and people can use that for smudging and for clearing the energy when they're doing the treatment. And that's what I was seeing as something that you could offer as well as that's about it. That's what I was seeing and I thought.
Yeah, you can make those bundles and then sell them. Yeah. So if somebody's looking for a particular crystal or something like that, absolutely.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I see it coming. It's been building, so I'm gotten excited hearing this. I don't know what it is about crystals. I just like I don't know. You
Well,
say it.
you had to activate to it. Everything is an activation, everything is an activation. And so you had to activate. I had to go through that too. I had to activate to the crystals also. That was back in 2008. Well, no, I'm lying. It was back in 2005. And I had to activate to the crystals. I had gone for Reiki training, activated my healing abilities with Reiki, and then I activated that crystal technology, right? The crystalline technology. And then that led me to the path of an ascension teacher. Now, when I started to do the ascension stuff, I was already falling away from the crystals and the Reiki because I had already done the activation for that, right? And I didn't need that anymore because I had already activated the higher stream of consciousness for ascension. And so if you look in my birth chart, my birth chart reads the ascension pathway. Like
Nice.
it reads that. And anytime I've ever, which I haven't done in a long time, but anytime I've ever gone for reading with an astrologer that understands ascension, the first thing she says is, it's amazing that it's in your chart that you're supposed to do this work and you're actually doing it. She's like, because I see people that are just totally clueless to what they're supposed to do. But when, I had great mentors in my life who told me, you are being activated. This is an activation. So you work with the crystals until you no longer feel called to work with crystals. You may feel called to work with the crystals for a year, 2 years, 4 years, 10 years, and then all of a sudden you're shift into something else because now that realm of consciousness no longer needs your attention because you've anchored into it enough of what is needed to be anchored into it. That's why there are people that are struggling within their spiritual business, within the spiritual work, because they don't understand this and they're trying to have a spiritual-based business using a 3D role model, right? For the business role model. It cannot work. It does not work because when you're doing that and you're operating from your spiritual business in a 3D model, you're actually operating from a place of lack. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So when you're doing that, you're not able to effectively activate the streams of consciousness within yourself that you need to activate. Right? Now, and it's funny because I was laying in bed last night and I have two crystal singing bowls. I have a heart, and you might remember, Rob, I played them in person when we were in Holbrook, when I was in my Holbrook office, and then you were telling me, oh, that's tuned to your voice or something like that, and you had your guitar tuner with you.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And you were like, and you were like, this is tuned to your voice or whatever, right? Now I have the two singing bowls, the two crystal singing bowls, and the case for them and the sticks to play them and everything, the mallets to play them. But I have no desire to play them. I have no calling to play them because I activated that stream of consciousness to them, and I don't feel connected to them anymore. So I'm waiting for the person that's meant to get them next to come into my reality so I could just hand them off, right? That's like, yo, you're supposed to have these. Thank you for coming by, right? Thank you for stopping by. You're supposed to have these. I have an Indian drum that I had gotten a while ago that has a buffalo painted on it, that I was using for, I was still, when I was Reiki drumming, right, and everything. I don't really feel called to use it anymore. These are all activations of consciousness, right? The drumming is the shamanic activation of consciousness. Now, some people get stuck in that and they will play out the shaman for the rest of their life because that's the only thing that they believe they are called here to do. And that might be true. But everything, if you remember, everything is an activation. Take that activation and run with it until you run out of steam with it and you no longer need it. And you will know when you no longer need it. This is goes for everybody. It's not just you, right? Because this is how it works. Everything is an activation. Reiki is an activation. The drumming is an activation. The singing bowls are an activation. The crystals are an activation. Everything's an activation.
I get that.
And it's stepping stones. It's like stepping stones in a pond, right? In a frog pond with lilies. So you have lily pads, you have stepping stones. So you stay on the stones, you get to the other side of the path. But if you don't stay on the stones and you fall onto a lily pad, it may not sustain you. And then you have to climb back up onto the stone and try to get your bearing again and keep going. So this is why it's so important to have an awareness to what is activating in the field of consciousness at every given moment during our state as a creator. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up the singing bowls. I don't know if you remember when I was in Port Jeff and I bought my first one.
Oh, yeah.
And then I ended up, by the time I came back from India, I probably had close to 17 or 18 of them. And each, I learned the tunings of them and what each tuning went to what chakra and what color. And I was ordering bowls from Amazon every other week, and I kept getting them, and they were the wrong tune. They weren't tuned, and kept sending them back. And this is when tuning bowls first kind of started. So there wasn't a lot out there. I ended up building two sets. I sold one to Kate, actually. She ended up with that set. And one day I came back from India. I never played them again. I had no use. And they sat there and they sat there. And then finally, I started selling everything that I had at the time because it was like after COVID. And I felt the selling. Nobody called. Nobody called. One day, this guy calls me, says, "I want your singing bowls." And he showed up with his wife. His wife walked over to him, started playing them, and they bought the whole set. And there it went. And I said, "I'm going to sell these because I wanted the ones from whatever that place was in Utah." That lady was playing them that time, and I forgot about that. About 2 years later, I met Ursula, and she had the singing bowls from that store in Utah. And so I was like, "Oh, I want to get these," and I just never came around to getting them. And then Kate got the same ones, and one of them shattered on her. And these bowls cost $3,000-$4,000 a piece. They're like that. They're actually made out of amethyst or out of tiger's eye or whatever. And I had that desire to get him again. And then hearing that happen, I'm done with it. That was it. But I know what you mean. Like all of a sudden, one day, like a switch, like with the crystals, it just left.
Yeah, it's a
Crystals came
frequency.
back.
Yeah, it was a frequency thing with her. It didn't match the frequency. And so the bowl left, believe it or not.
Literally.
Yeah, it left.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, it's crazy when that happens. All right. Well, I mean, this is something that I think you should, continue to explore and not give up on.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else have anything? I think we're gonna wrap it up here. I know we're over time. I appreciate you all sticking this out. But I feel like this was an important exchange for you to understand, every one of you to understand that everything is an activation and that we should never get stuck in anything or get anchored to something or, or become addicted to something, because everything is meant for us to pass through and move through so that we can have the activation from it. And then when it's time for us to move on to something else, we do, right? That's how it works. Everything is an activation, but when we forget that, we get stuck. And then, we're not operating in our fullness because we're stuck where we are. Right. And sometimes the universe sends us messages, hey, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. But we don't want to. It's the same thing with the job, right? When it's time to move on and you're failing to see that message and you don't want to go, guess what the universe does? It gets you fired. You get fired, right? The job lets you go instead of you letting the job go. So be conscious out there, right? Live from your consciousness. It's so important. Now more than ever, because these energies are so intensive, they're so volatile, they are offering us like the magic carpet ride, really. Okay. So stay present. Everything has purpose, everything, even something that you don't want, even something that does not feel good in the moment, has great, great purpose. Okay, very important. All right. Anybody have any questions, any comments, anything you want to share before we go? No? Everybody's good? Okay. I really appreciate you all coming on and joining tonight. When I first got started, I thought we were going to just be a very small group, but this was very nice. I'm glad we got to spend the time together. So thank you for being here. I hope this resonated with you. I know this resonated with all of you, right? You're all going to say this was a great class. It resonated. It's making me think about how I can be more resourceful in my creator states as I'm interacting with my day-to-day experience. All right. All right, guys. I love you so much. Thank you so much for being here. And I will have the new calendar out for me soon. Love you. Enjoy the rest of your week. Take care.
Love you. Bye,
Thank you.
everybody. Bye.